360 The Quest. Your Atlantic Catholic Radio presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. But truly, that joy is given back to us tenfold by you wonderful and dear friends. We are just recovering from a pledge drive, so I think in order to detox from the excitement, why don't we kick this thing off with a little prayer?
Sounds great. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the wonderful pledge drive that we just completed. And Lord, we just thank you for all those that have called in and all those that are going to still donate and help this beautiful message of the quest reaching out to all of those that listen and all of those that encounter. And we just thank you for this beautiful Friday. Thank you for another week. And just guide us as we get ready for our weekend. Help us to always keep our eyes focused on you and open our hearts to do your holy will today and throughout the weekend and until the day you call us home. We love you, sweet Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, that was exciting. An exciting past 4 days.
I mean, it really was. I mean, yeah. And again, I just think to myself, Atlanta Catholic Radio, having this station here, we brought so many different people in within the Archdiocese.
Yeah.
Priests, you know, different people within different ministries. It is so important.
Yeah, it's pretty
to have this location here. It's a mouthpiece for the Archdiocese. And without it, we wouldn't have all these amazing people coming in, sharing their love for Christ, sharing their love for the church. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm just on a high. Like yesterday, I was exhausted, but I was like super duper pumped.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped too. I thought, how about that poignant closing hour?
Yes.
Where they honored the life of Monsignor Fennessy. You had been, he was ordained in 1968. And came to Atlanta in 1968 with Father Terry Kane and Father Vincent Mulvin, both classmates. And yeah, I guess I'm going to try to do the math correctly, but is that 57 years of service to the priesthood?
Okay, so I'm not good at math, I'm just going to say
57 years. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And this is like before I was born. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when he was here. And again, you think about it. I mean, my mom's side of the family is Polish. My father's side is Lithuanian. I mean, we are one universal church. I mean, we're all, Italians. I mean, just many different, you know, nationalities. And here we are, one body in Christ and their service.
Yeah, so this is interesting. In 1960, there were 30,840 Catholics reported in the diocese
of
Atlanta. Okay, so by the time he passed away, 1.2 million Catholics reported in the Diocese of Atlanta. I mean, you think about all the Irish thumbprints that were, that are etched on the, just the infrastructure of this diocese,
yes.
Right? And that were mission critical in it becoming everything that it is today. So it's really, really amazing to see that net. Yeah, Father Silloway and Matt Allen did such a great job, mm-hmm. paying tribute to his life. Some other amazing. Did you have any other? How about Father Adam Blatt's testimony?
Oh my gosh, just hearing his story, because I heard
how he was one step from bailing on seminary, the priesthood, and then he just kept having these recurring encounters with his patron saint, these signs that kind of kept tugging his heart along.
Yes,
and here we are today, all these years later.
I mean, it was so inspiring. And, we're blessed to have him on one of our gospel reflections for the week. And just hearing the whole story and just hearing how these saints, they're prayer partners to us, how they're interceding and they are just wanting us to grow closer to the Lord, because that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They kept their eyes on him, even through struggles, right?
Absolutely.
No, it was amazing. I mean, Father Blatt's awesome. I mean, every day, the students at Pinecrest, just hearing about their lovely faith. And I mean, truly every single person we had in here, every conversation was just so rewarding and just so eye-opening. And it's amazing to have them be able to come here, mm-hmm. to talk about their mission.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about too, Father Nick Lee and Sarah Rocco. That was a very special hour. They're all special, but Sarah Rocco said something that really haunted me in a beautiful way. I thought this was such a great witness. She talked about her journey to, you know, being a consecrated virgin for the diocese,
yeah.
right? And which she's in the formation process of right now, send some prayers her way. But she talked about how she had, you know, been dating before. And I love this line she said that just really stuck out to me. She said, "I've realized that I couldn't love these people in the way they deserve."
Oh my gosh.
Right? And,
yes.
and that reminder that God is calling us to a higher love. I think there's all kinds of things in our lives that we go, "God, like, this is good, but sometimes the good is the enemy of the best."
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, and I think just praying and asking the Lord for guidance on exactly what He is calling us to do. And that's exactly what she is doing, right?
Yeah,
whether absolutely. It's single, whether it's married, whether it's gosh, any vocation, religious life, that's the yeah. key. When we're doing what He really wants us to do, that's when we're going to be free
yeah.
and have that peace in our heart.
Absolutely. And so that phrase is, listen, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Yes.
Not my motto, though. It's, listen, Lord, your servant's speaking. Okay.
No, absolutely.
I'm just kidding. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. But I'm always saying absolutely. Josh, because you're always just whipping out those words that are
yeah,
so eloquent.
Don't pay attention to that last one. That's a joke, okay?
No, but now I'm realizing you're making me think of T.J. McCausland and Christopher Bell when you're talking about the cookies in the jar.
Oh, yeah. That's a... Anyway, okay, I'll say this really quick to make sense of what she shared. The slogan when you have the Knights of Columbus slogan is, "Where there's a need, there's a knight."
Knights okay? of Columbus, yeah.
The Knights of Columbus, and they were on. And I guess maybe it was undiagnosed dyslexia. I have no clue, but I said, and it's so great that you guys are here because I just love the fact that where there's a knight, there's a need. And everyone just kind of froze for a second. I had to go backwards and realize I'm no longer the PR rep for this heroic organization.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
We love you, Josh.
You win
we love
some,
you.
You lose some.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
Okay, this hour we have an action-packed lineup. We have our dear friend Kathleen Lindemann closing us out strong, seeding our hearts with wonderful words of faith to help us in our journey to heaven. By the way, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Januarius. Father Mark White unpacks today's gospel reading. But next, Vince Freeze, parishioner at St. Anne's in Marietta and founder of DivorceCatholic.com, will be talking about the healing power of the Eucharist and hope for Catholics experiencing divorce.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
I am so delighted to have Vince Freeze here with us. Again, he is a parishioner of St. Anne's in Marietta and founder of DivorceCatholic.com. And he's going to be talking about the healing power of the Eucharist. And of course, this is hope for Catholics experiencing divorce. So welcome back to The Quest, Vince.
Allison, it's always great to be here. I'm so excited to share this message of hope and healing of the Eucharist. I was in Jefferson City, the Diocese of Jefferson City, Missouri, this past weekend.
Oh, wow.
Sharing this message. I want to give a shout out to Deacon Turf Martin and to Barb Brassad, who kind of sponsored me up there.
Yeah.
And it was an awesome weekend. And
wow.
As I shared this message, I just saw people's eyes light up and
that's
just
great.
Hope kind of flow in. So,
well,
yeah,
and that's
excited.
Nice. That's nice. Because again, me, I'm divorced as well. And so, oh my gosh, and my marriage has been null, but it's amazing because there's a lot of brokenness that comes about with divorce. So it is beautiful that you are just shining the spotlight on Christ, the Eucharist, right? And the healing that comes about when you really...
Absolutely. This is like the best kept secret, and I'm trying to share it, right? So,
yes.
So many Catholics don't understand the power of the Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
and especially divorced Catholics who are in despair.
Yes.
And this is the one message, if they don't remember anything else, it's the healing power of the Eucharist.
Yes.
So I'm excited to share some things.
I love it. Well, please tell us. Yeah, tell us about it.
I think I want to set this up a little bit. So when people hear about Jesus, they read the Gospels, they read it like a history book. They read it like that was then, that Jesus walked on the earth. You know, when we read about the Gospels, he goes from town to town mm-hmm. to town doing yeah. what? Healing people.
Yes.
He's the healer. And so they read it like that. Yes, that happened long ago, but they lose sight of the fact that Jesus, the great healer, is present to us today in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just share that simple thought with them, it's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, that Eucharist that you can receive at Mass every day if you like, or that you can be present to in the tabernacle at the church is the same Jesus, just in a different form as was 2,000 years
ago. Absolutely.
So it just opens their eyes. It shifts their mind to, wait a minute, you know what? I think you're right, because they lose sight of the fact that that Eucharist that received that wafer of bread is actually Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, present to them today.
Yes.
So, you know, and so when I spread that message, it's accessible to them anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tell people experiencing divorce is, get as much Jesus into your life as possible. As Catholics, you know, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for anybody to go through divorce, but it's a particular, you know, for a Catholic, it's a tragedy. But thank God you're Catholic, because you have this greatest gift available to you, really kind of on demand.
Yes. Oh, and it truly is on demand, because every parish, wherever you are in the world, there are different parishes. You can go to daily Mass. There's Eucharistic adoration. You know, here at the Quest, we have a beautiful, beautiful chapel, and we have Eucharistic adoration Monday through Thursday from 10 to 2.
Yeah.
So again, just being in the Lord's presence, even if you walk into a church where there is not Eucharistic adoration, like you said, Vince, tabernacle, whenever you see that red light, the candle that's lit, Jesus is present. He is bodily present there.
Yeah.
You are in his holy presence.
And think about, you know, just the, like, how explicit Jesus is in proclaiming that he is, you know, the bread of life. So this is from John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes me shall never thirst. John 6:41, I am the bread that came down from heaven. John 6:48, I am the bread of life. John 6:50, this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one who may eat of it shall not die. It's John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. John 6:53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And John 6:55, for my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink.
I mean, you hear that. That is like from the Gospels. That
That's
is Jesus
all in
talking.
Just one chapter.
I mean, that is right there. Right there.
Amen.
He didn't mix words.
No.
So many people that we minister to come in just broken, right? In despair. And over a 12-week period, as they go through our Recovering from Divorce program, what we tell them right from the beginning is, get as much Jesus into your life, connect with the Eucharist, receive it, and they blossom. We see it right in front of our eyes, how they're healing. And the other thought that I share is that Jesus healed in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
He touched people, healed them. You know, he was present to them. They touched him, and they were healed.
Yes.
So when you sit in front of the Eucharist in the tabernacle, just in an empty church, Jesus is present with you, you know, wanting desperately to heal you. So I want to build on what Josh was talking about with from the Catechism. This is what our church teaches. Catechism 1509, the church believes in the life-giving presence of Christ, the physician of souls and bodies. This presence is particularly active through the sacraments, and in an altogether special way through the Eucharist. But the point here is that the physician of souls and bodies, physical, spiritual, emotional, this is just the power of the Eucharist to heal cannot be understated.
Yes. No, absolutely. Mm. And you know, Vince, what's coming to mind too, for those, you know, going through divorce, and hello, I think this message is for anybody, even if you're happily married, right? We go through struggles, we go through trials. Jesus is in the Eucharist is healing. His healing power is there. But again, even going to confession first, right?
Yes.
And then being reconciled, then going receiving Jesus.
Yes, so
it is key.
It's the 1-2 punch, really.
It is.
You know, so and so many Catholics who've gone through divorce think they can't receive the Eucharist. That's not true.
Correct.
The ground rules for receiving the Eucharist are the same whether you're divorced or not. You have to be in a state of grace.
Yes.
Right? And so it's not a special rule, if you will, for somebody who's gone through divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not in a state of grace, you shouldn't receive the Eucharist. But that's why confession is there.
Yes.
Right? I call it wiping the mud off the windshield, if you will, when you go to confession. confession, you're come out clean.
And it's amazing. The feeling is so amazing when you walk out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like telling the priest, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, you see it on people's faces. So through the years, we've done a variety of conferences and we have people there. We have confession there.
Yeah.
And people, it always starts out the same. So, you know, let's say it's a 2-day conference. There's nobody in line for mm-hmm. confession at first.
Wow.
And then we start talking about the power of confession.
Yes.
And then gradually over the course of the first day or so, you know, a few people in line. By the end of the first day, there's kind of a line and around the hall.
Oh, yes.
And, but invariably, as I watch people come out, they go in with this terrified look on their face. But they come out beaming. You know, like
absolutely.
The weight of the world has just been lifted off their shoulders.
And it truly has.
Oh, yes.
It truly, truly has.
I mean,
literally.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Now, is there a website that people can go to learn more about your ministry?
DivorcedCatholic.com has got all our resources.
That's marvelous.
Well, we're so grateful for you, Vince. This is such a powerful message and reminder that Jesus, you know, his restorative power is timeless and infinite, right? And a reminder that that's the same Jesus we receive, you know, in communion that turned the world upside down, right?
Exactly.
Stilled the waves by saying, peace be still. So allow him to say that into your heart today.
Amen.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, will be talking about the upcoming retreat, Becoming Eucharist, taking place at St. Michael the Archangel in October. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us next. Actually, we'll be unpacking today's gospel reading.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It's 8:20.
We are with Father Mark White as he gives us some soul food in preparation for this Sunday's gospel reading. How are you, Father?
Great to be here, as always. Let's break open this very interesting gospel that includes a very interesting parable as we are still in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, a rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, what is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward. The steward said to himself, what shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes. He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, how much do you owe my master? He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, and you, how much do you owe? He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you're not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is one of my favorite parables, Josh, because it seems on the surface that Jesus is encouraging us to emulate someone that we would never want to follow. And I think, yeah, you know, you've got this kind of crazy guy, you know, that is a steward of this rich man, and he knows he's, you know, he's going to be fired basically. So he's got to set things up for himself when he gets fired and act kind of selfishly. And he does it by squandering the man's property, more of it, to get himself in a good place when he loses his position. So it reminds me of there was a guy in our it was one of our vendors when we had an envelope company. My family did for years, a really small niche company. And he'd take us out to lunch, you know, trying to smooth us a little bit so to keep our business. And when the boss man wasn't there, his head guy, the master, to use the language of the parable, he would order like 5 appetizers for us, even though we didn't really want the appetizers. You know, he'd be like, you want some appetizers? We'd be like, no, we're fine. He's like, let's get 5, you know. He would just spend money, you know, and he had this huge amount of money that he would spend. Now, he did sell a lot, but he would spend all the master's money, so to speak, his company's money. And then when he left that job, he started a business where he had kind of stole some ideas from the business he was in to use to start his own business. So this is the kind of person that Jesus seems on the surface to be saying, you need to emulate this guy. Christians. And then he just kind of stops the parable and he gives this application. And the application is where we find in church tradition, the church fathers and many scholars have seen, this is how we're supposed to understand it. And it's a twist. You know, in many of the parables Jesus has or offers us, most of them have this twist. And if you don't get the twist, you don't understand what's going on. So what does he say here? He says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So there's the clue. Jesus is not talking about the stewardship of this life in and of itself. Just like the way we tend to look at our culture, you know, this is all my money, this is my talent, and this is my treasure. I can do with it, you know, what I need to do for myself, my family, those around me that I love the most, you know, that I care about, people that I like. He's saying that once we're baptized, we're now in Christ. We're now in this new creation. We're now children of light, and we are to leverage everything about our time, talent, and treasure to win for ourselves the friendship of the poor, the have-nots, so that we are received ultimately in heaven when we die. So he's kind of using a very provocative way of applying this. Josh, he's saying these people in the world, like this guy I tell you about, the vendor, you know. But he could also think of a politician that goes to Washington that, you know, just uses the 5 years or 6 years he's a senator, let's say, to enrich himself. And then he lands a big book deal off of being a senator and gets another big job when he gets out. Doesn't help anyone. He's saying those people, the people in the world that we see doing this all that, they're more motivated and working for themselves than the children of light are working for the kingdom.
Wow.
So, you know, the way we would apply this is kind of awkward. You know, if you go to your company, look at the guy who is the one who, you know, uses the company for his own gain, the one who does things that, you know, none of us would like, and saying, you know, am I that way in my faith? Because my master, my Lord, he has given me all this time and talent and treasure that really isn't all mine. And I'm supposed to leverage it in being generous towards the have-nots, because he's radically generous, so that they will receive me ultimately into heaven, that'll be a witness for me on the day of judgment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's powerful stuff. I've never unpacked it like that, Father.
Yeah, and it is very hard to understand. And so, you know, you can confuse that we need to be as creative, as prudent, as wise, not breaking the law, but using wealth that really isn't ours, all our time, talent, and treasure that God gave us, to make friends with the poor through lending to them. And that can be, you know, that can be financial gift to the poor, but it could also be praying for the have-nots in any way, someone who doesn't have faith, someone who's sick, someone who's in a place of ignorance, and that place of ignorance is leading them down the wrong path. All those things. One of the saints, and I'll end on this, that I think really emulates this for us is a Pier Giorgio, who now is, you know, recently been canonized, saint now, Pier Giorgio, who at his funeral, I don't know if you know this, none of his family understood his faith, thought he was kind of crazy throughout his life, and he was such a deep, devout Catholic. He would take money, I thought this is funny, that his father gave him for train tickets and one time for a car and all kinds of things. His parents were really rich, and he would go down to the poor area of town and give it all away. And actually, he ended up catching a rare strain of polio that he died from, they believe, from some of the poor people. At his funeral, massive amounts of poor people just showed up, and his family kind of almost tried to shoo him away. They're like, what are these people doing here? And it was only some of his Catholic friends that said, no, whoa, 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 that's what Pier did. You know, he took everything he had, all his time, talent, his treasure, and the money that you gave him, and he lended it to Christ and the poor. Mm. And it was almost as the poor were coming to the funeral as a prefigurement of the fact that there would be receiving him into heaven forever. Wow. As a saint. And so that's this kind of radical, provocative thing that Jesus is trying to do. We need to be as creative as we can as stewards in this life with our time, talent, and treasure for the sake of the kingdom. More creative than people in the world are for the sake of worldly wealth and worldly esteem.
Man, talk about going out on a high note. Thank you for helping us see this gospel from a beautiful new lens, one that hopefully calls us to maximize our time, talent, and treasure for Christ's kingdom. Thank you so much, Father Mark White. We are so blessed by this reflection. Catholic Vote, U.S. Senate has voted unanimously to establish October 14th as the National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk. The resolution, led by Senator Rick Scott of Florida, honors the late conservative leader's contributions to public life, his defense of free speech, and his commitment to faith. Senators describe Kirk as a husband, father, and friend whose life was shaped by his Christian beliefs and dedication to civic engagement. Scott said that Kirk devoted his life to showing that ideas grounded in faith and liberty can not only inspire debate, but spark a movement. This new day of remembrance will highlight Kirk's impact on young leaders and his role in promoting open dialogue and democracy across the nation.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, will be talking about the upcoming retreat, Becoming Eucharist, taking place at St. Michael in the Archangel in October. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Januarius.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:34.
Who's on the agenda, Chuck?
Good morning, Josh. Well, you know, it's been said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. In fact, it was the second century Christian writer and church father Tertullian who first uttered these words, for he firmly believed that the martyr's blood regenerates and strengthens the church. This expression takes on a unique significance every year on this 19th day of September because sealed in a reliquary in the Italian city of Naples are the relics of the blood of the intrepid bishop and martyr St. Januarius, a man who was born in the year 272, martyred in the year 305. These relics miraculously liquefy a handful of times throughout the year, as some of our listeners no doubt know, including on September 9th, the day of his liturgical feast. There is no scientific explanation for this phenomenon. As of the time we went on the air, I do not have an update as to whether or not the blood liquefaction took place yet today. I urge all of you to check your trusted Catholic news sites, as I'm sure they'll all be covering it today. However, a year ago, I did note that upon tuning into Atlanta's Catholic radio station, AM 1160 The Quest, it was in fact confirmed that this miracle took place at 9:26 a.m., on the morning of the 19th of September in the year 2024 at the Cathedral of the Assumption of Mary in Naples before 2,000 members of the faithful. So that's a pretty good crowd for daily mass.
Yeah.
Wanting to see this miracle. And it was Archbishop Domenico Battaglia, who was the celebrant for this much anticipated memorial mass, who offered these words, and I quote, "Today, the sign of Bishop Januarius's blood shed for the sake of Christ and his brethren tells us that goodness, beauty and righteousness are and always will be victorious. Here's the meaning of this blood, which, united with the blood shed by Christ and that of all martyrs of every place and time, is a living testimony that love always wins. Januarius was the Bishop of Benevento in the Campania region, an Italian diocese adjacent to the city of Naples, a city, I might add, of whom he is the patron. He was taken prisoner along with a group of other Christians during the early years of the Diocletian persecutions, otherwise known as the Great Persecution, which spanned the years 303 to 313. Januarius and his fellow Christian captives refused to worship the pagan gods of Emperor Diocletian and were in turn subjected to terrible tortures. Ultimately, they were all sentenced to death. Diocletian's henchmen tried first to burn these Christians alive in a furnace, but interestingly enough, the white-hot flames inexplicably did them no harm. And that's a fate reminiscent of that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as captured in the book of Daniel, a passage that we read every year at Mass during daily Mass. It's Daniel 3. Verses 8 to 25. They were then thrown to the lions, but these ravenous predators ignored their easy, hand-delivered prey. The Romans at this point, befuddled, ultimately decided to behead them, and on September 19th in the year 305, St. Januarius and his companions were indeed beheaded near Poggio. The miracle of the liquefaction of the blood of the martyred Bishop Januarius usually occurs three times during the year. The first occasion is the day commemorating the transfer of his remains to Naples, and this is the Saturday before the first Sunday in May. The second occurrence is on his aforementioned liturgical feast of September 19th, and then that third occasion is on December 16th, when devotees thank him for his prayerful intercession, which lessens the effects of what was predicted to be a devastating volcanic eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Hmm. Interesting story. When this occurred in the year 1631, another great quote from the Archbishop Battaglia, he says, and I quote, "Every drop of this blood speaks to us of the love of God. This blood is a sign of the blood of Christ, of his passion. More than 1,700 years ago, this brave shepherd chose death over betrayal of the gospel to show that the love of God is stronger than death, violence, or any power." And, you know, there's another thing, too, though. The Archbishop did caution the faithful on hand to avoid reducing the veneration of the city of Naples' most treasured saint to mere superstition. You know, he said, we do not have to worry if the blood of this relic does or does not liquefy, but we do have to worry if it is the blood of the downtrodden, the marginalized, and the poor that flows through our streets. So this is a reminder of what Bishop Januarius really stood for, the care of the poor and the marginalized. Many have, of course, reflected on this miracle over the years. Father James Kubicki is a favorite of mine. I read a page or two out of his Book of Daily Offerings every day. And he said, perhaps this is God's way of telling us that the saints are alive in him and can be powerful intercessors for us. Christians believe that death is not the end of human existence. Joined to the body of Christ, who is risen and alive in his glory, Christians live on after their deaths. They are part of this communion of saints. So, interesting saint, you know, really cool miracle. He is also the patron saint of blood banks, proving that our church has a sense of humor, I suppose, if nothing else. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, I know that I always kind of, when September rolls around, it's on my to-do list to make sure I check that first thing in the morning to see if that liquefaction miracle happens. It doesn't always happen. Most of the times it does, though. And it's just another great great sign. I guess we're all suckers for miracles, I guess, when it comes down to it.
Yeah. Well, that's how Jesus got people's attention.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And it's a reminder. This is a great quote from Pope Benedict. The blood of St. Januarius reminds us that the martyr's sacrifice is fruitful and still today speaks to the church. And isn't that a reminder, right? Any blood shed for Christ truly never dies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been celebrating some of these really early church saints these last few days. Cyprian and Cornelius, they even predate St. Januarius. So they were back in the 200s.
Mm-hmm.
And during every period of time, there's always going to be peril. There's always going to be persecution. But God raises up these holy men and women.
He does.
And we see it, whether they be bishops or popes, in this case of St. Cornelius, or whether it be the virgin martyr saints that we talk about, these young girls who refuse to give up their virginity and are martyred in turn. We talk about them as well. It takes all types from people of every station of life. And that is how this mystical body of Christ, and we are the blood which flows through that mystical body of Christ, mm-hmm. to use an analogy today with St. Januarius. That's how we keep it going.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And celebrated on September 19th, the day, I believe, of his martyrdom, right, Chuck?
That is correct. Yes.
And this guy has quite a following. I mean, Naples holds a solemn procession where thousands gather to witness the blood miracle.
Oh, yeah. That would be a cool thing to be there for.
Gosh.
I understand Naples is a very beautiful city. I'm sure a number of our listeners have traveled to Italy. It's a great pilgrimage site. It's just a great vacation site.
Yeah.
My sister went with her family to Italy last year, and she's still talking about that trip. She'd love to. She's already trying to schedule her next trip back.
Wow.
And we have so many great Italian saints. I'm sure we have a number of Italian listeners. And, of course, the San Gennaro Festival in New York City. I'm not sure that a number of our listeners know this or if any of them have been to it. It's not what it used to be, but it was a very popular street fair in New York City. It's named in honor of St. January, San Gennaro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
So he should probably be the patron saint of deep fried Oreos and funnel cake, too, although he doesn't have that patronage. Maybe we can petition Pope Leo XIV and see if he can take it.
Well, what courage and what heroism, and it's a reminder that nothing is impossible when we live for Christ and are infused by his grace. So perhaps we can have that same courage today as we try to bear witness to God's glory. But I think I might need a little bit of extra help. So, St. Januarius.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:42, and I found an absolutely delightful story that's going to make you want to grab those rosary beads right after
nice.
The show.
What you got?
So Dr. Jose Jorge Maya, a practicing internist, just went viral with over 37,000 likes for sharing the amazing health benefits of praying the rosary. So here's what the doctor discovered that has Catholics everywhere celebrating: the science behind those rosary beads. Listen to this one. Your heart and lungs sync up. Dr. Maya found that praying the rosary reduces both respiratory and heart rates, creating better harmony between your cardiovascular and respiratory systems.
Wow.
That's amazing. Also, blood pressure improvements. Regular rosary prayer creates positive changes in blood pressure and oxygens and increases oxygen in your blood. Natural calm and well-being. These physical changes don't just sound good on paper. They translate to genuine feelings of peace and wellness.
That's great.
I mean, just hearing all that, how many mm-hmm. people have anxiety or there's blood pressure? I mean, praying the rosary, and it's beautiful too, right? Because you're saying the prayers and just in a specific way that really syncs everything. So,
yeah.
So the fellow doctors are also chiming in. One physician commented, "I'm a doctor too, and I pray the rosary every day. It has changed my life."
Wow, that's fantastic. And yeah, again, like they say, a rosary a day keeps the devil away. That's what somebody told me.
I like that phrase. I totally love it. Mm-hmm. And again, studies show people who pray the rosary regularly report greater feelings of peace, well-being, and fulfillment compared to those who don't. Mm. So again, Dr. Maya personally shares that since praying the rosary almost daily, he's found not only peace and well-being, but also answers, comfort, and faith. So again, grab those rosary beads daily to stay nice and healthy.
Amen. Hey, maybe it's time that you call your mother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Closing us out strong, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, talks about the upcoming retreat, Becoming Eucharist, taking place at their church.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160, The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:47, and we are delighted to have Kathleen Lindemann back. She's a parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock. And today, she is going to be talking about the upcoming retreat called Becoming Eucharist, and that's going to be taking place at St. Michael the Archangel this upcoming October. So welcome back, Kathleen.
Well, good morning, Josh and Allison. It's a great day to be Catholic.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Good word.
Well, I have an exciting thing that we're launching at our parish. It's a 6-week, once a week for 6 weeks, retreat called Becoming Eucharist, Food for the Soul and Hope for the Journey. And we know that there's a large number of Catholics who don't necessarily believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist.
Correct.
But we know the truth, and we know the Eucharist is not just a symbol, it's the real presence. But here's the amazing part. When we receive him, we're not only nourishing ourselves, but he's giving us grace when we receive him to share him, to bring Christ presence into the world. And yeah. And you think about it, you know, the cashier at Kroger, the server at a restaurant, the neighbor that you see in your neighborhood, or the someone you know at work, every single one of those moments can be touched by Jesus if we have the confidence to live what we receive. You know, if you want a great body, you're going to work out. You're not just going to look and go, I want a great body. You know, if you eat, you know, potato chips and Hershey chocolate bars and drink Coke every day, we know what's going to happen. Yes. Our body is going to break down. Mm. But when we receive the Eucharist as much as we can at every Mass, we're not just receiving Jesus and we're going about our way. We're receiving Jesus and he's building us to have that confidence to share him with others.
Mm.
So it's not just about receiving, it's about learning how to live it. And that's what this retreat is going to be about.
Wow.
Imagine learning how to bring Jesus into our homes, into our workplaces, into our friendships, every day, in every situation that we're in, we can talk about Jesus and bring others to the church. So in these 6 weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into the gift of the Eucharist. What really is it? How do we become what we eat? Mm. We've got trained facilitators to guide us, but the heart of this retreat is bringing people to us and growing together. And it starts on Tuesday, two different offerings, Tuesday evening starting October 14th or Wednesday morning starting October 15th, whatever fits your schedule. Every session begins with a great meal, dinner at night or breakfast in the morning, praise and worship, a video presentation, small group discussion, and prayer. Mm. And we're going to grow in that understanding. We're going to grow in that faith. And most of all, we're going to grow as a family of God, learning how to carry what we receive out into the everyday world.
Wow.
That's
exciting.
Fantastic. And that just that simple reminder, Kathleen, that, I mean, one, you know, we are who you eat, who mm-hmm. we eat, right? And the reminder, it's like, I've heard that phrase, you know, you're kind of like a composite sketch of the people you spend the most time mm-hmm. with. And so if you are nourished by Christ, if you spend time with him in adoration, if you are around people who, you know, are in a sacramental rhythm, that is going to contour the image of our soul and our, you know, our spirit, that it, you know, it's going to be palpable. And the other thing I love is it fuels us for evangelization. How easy, like how often do we forget that? Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, you know, Josh and Allison, so many people I meet at a parish level, because I work in the parish, they sometimes feel like they don't have the confidence. What would I say? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do I talk about this? How do I tell the people I love in my family or people in my neighborhood that, you know, Jesus really is present without them looking at us like, you got to be kidding me, right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You can't do it. You can't do it by yourself.
Correct.
You need the Eucharist to build you up with strength. It's kind of like when I go into a situation where I'm not sure the words I'm going to use, I always say, even when I'm about to be a lector and, you know, you're going up to the altar, I always say, Jesus, you be the words in my mouth, not me.
Oh, I love
May it be
that.
You who live, not me.
That's great.
And so when you're facing a situation like a loved one who's fallen away from the church and you're desperately desiring and pining for them to come back, you know, stop working so hard. You know,
yeah.
Go receive the Eucharist and allow Jesus to strengthen those parts in you and say, Jesus, I'm approaching this person that I kind of have an odd with about this, and help me to use your words if the opportunity is there. And there are often times I walk away and go, what just happened? I am not that smart. I am not that clever. I am not that articulate.
Yes.
And yet you know that the Holy Spirit just filled you with incredible wisdom mm-hmm. to evangelize to someone that you could not do it by yourself. This retreat is going to teach us what is the gift that we have. Why is adoration so important? Mm-hmm. And you were just talking earlier about saying the rosary.
Yes.
And the rhythm. You know, I'll have people say to me, oh, it's just one Hail Mary after the other. It's so boring. No, it's a rhythm,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's a flow. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, to calm us, to give us that peace that surpasses all understanding, mm-hmm. because it's higher than us. And over the last week of what has happened with, you know, Charlie Kirk, I just read an article yesterday that a couple weeks before he died, he was at a prayer breakfast and he admitted to a bishop that he's this close to becoming Catholic.
Whoa! Yeah. I didn't know that.
I'll send you the article. It is like amazing, right?
Yes.
And we need that hope. It's food for the soul. It's food for our body that we cannot live without.
Yes.
And it's hope for the journey every time we receive him. Lord Jesus, come into me. You know, take out everything from me that is not of you. Fill those parts of me that need to be refreshed. Fresh, need to be healed, need to be whole so I can be you to the world. If we really believe that or hope that or came to something like this at St. Michael in October, we would change the world. Yes, we would. Let's do it. October 14th, October 15th. It's on our website, St. Michael the Archangel Catholic website. There's a button, Becoming Eucharist. As soon as you open the webpage, click the button. It's easy. Register. Come. Come and receive so that we can be Jesus to the world.
And you know what I love, Kathleen? As I hear you speaking, it's about talking to the Lord, saying, here I am. Help me. Guide me. I mean, there needs to be a communication, an openness to saying, to giving all of this to him, right? To let him fill you and allow you. Because it's so easy for us as, you know, humans just to try to take control and just kind of go through and do these things and thinking, I've got it. I know what I'm going to do. Yeah. But again, it's truly submitting and saying, okay, I need your help. I need you to take over and guide me.
And, you know, Jesus knows that. He knows how frail we are. We have to die to ourselves. We have to say, Lord, I don't know what she's talking about, but I want that. And you take the first step. Or even saying, you know, I'll have people say, oh, I really want to go to morning mass, but I just, you know, don't know how to fit it in. And I said, oh, yeah, I know it's impossible. Just say, Jesus, help me fit it in.
Mm. Yes,
he'll wake you up early.
Yes.
He'll get this going, that going. It's just amazing. But you have to ask him to help. It's just like the last time I talked, I think we were talking about Come Encounter Christ.
Correct.
The praise and worships we have on the first Friday of the month. I had a lot of people, we had over 350 people come last month.
Awesome.
On the first Friday, September 5th. They were from other parishes too. I heard you on the radio. I was so encouraged. And they said, I we do something sometimes at our parish like this, one lady told me. She said, but it's not like this. I'm coming every month, and I'm inviting people because now I know how good it is, you know?
Yes.
And this is the fire that starts, right? It's just that little spark that sets the fire, that sets the flame, you know, amongst all of us. And we're all doing our little part, you know? And it's wonderful that, you know, we have the ability to do this at St. Michael's. Father Larry is so open to welcoming others. We're getting more and more people. And we're excited. And our dinners are great. It's very organized. We start on time. The dinners, October 14th, will start at 6:30. You are out at right smack dab at 8:30.
Wow.
And our Wednesday morning starts with breakfast, and we start at 10. So you can even go to morning mass if you want. Starts at 10 and is over by noon. Mm. And we really have a great time with food, fellowship, praise, and worship, and a great message every single week you come. So I hope to see everyone.
Well, and that's so nice, too, right? Because it's the whole package. You're getting food. You know, so you're not having to run to eat at a restaurant. You're not having to run home. So there are so many beautiful things with this. So thank you so much, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel and director of adult evangelization, for talking about this beautiful Becoming Eucharist retreat. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks so much. Stay prayed up and stay close to our Mother Mary.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's such a powerful, what a powerful event they have going on. It reminds me of that phrase by the saint. I forget his name, but God became man so that man might become God.
Amen.
And so, again, we're not talking about
us being gods,
but we are talking about uniting ourselves with God. God's divine restorative life. And so that's what any conference on the Eucharist would be about. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.